What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Ed's got put out. You gotta get him out, man. He trying to find a place to craft for the night. Shit. I ain't fool 3.5. You
wasn't my dog. Hey man, I take them rides, man. I know some people up there.
not here. Well, you gotta go to Orlando. I'm the only nigga in there.
You ain't too far.
Nah, I ain't far from Orlando. It's about 45 hours, depending on where you're trying to get to over there.
You know where you close by the homie Kappa. You close by Kappa.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like y'all probably I don't know if y'all stay in the same area, but yeah, he ain't too far from like y'all really close.
That's why
like when he used to be coming to the games, I was like, well, shoot, if you come to the game, you might as well just stop in with him because y'all right there.
Shit, he let me know. Yeah, I don't even be seeing him on the time. Like he be on there, he been kind of ducked off.
He don't mess with the time, man. You know, they fan base, he Kappa really could go, he'll go in on the Megas, man. So He leaving it alone.
I feel him. I know it was for me for a while. I had built years ago. I'm like, man, they fuck around killing one of these niggas, man. Ain't nothing gangster about me, man. But these niggas out of pocket.
They out of control with it, boy.
For real. I'd be like, yeah.
But you know what?
The crazy part is,
since like we've been winning and all that, it's nowhere near like how it used to be, because you had your Mario versus, you know what I'm saying, the establishment, where it's like people were still upset by the mini DS thing. You had still the mini defeat DS defenders, and then you had the people that didn't like Mario. It was that versus that. Now you don't even see it no more.
And then Groove still trying to hold on a little piece. It's killing him. But he's holding a little bit of Manny love still.
but he's like, Mario got my 100% support. He was like, just don't let me down. So
yeah, but see that's what I'm talking about. That's a caveat.
Yeah.
Don't lose nothing. Now I'm just gonna throw you back under the bus. Like, come on, man. This shit, college ball, bro.
It's gonna be hard to throw Mario under the bus, man. Like he's done so well. Like all he got to do is just add a championship to everything now. You know what I'm saying? This is what we wait for.
Y'all just brought that topic up, and listen, I just got out of Discord, like literally, and we were just talking about that because there's still some people in there that's complaining about the coaching. Complaining about is Barfield a good coach? Is Dawson a good coach? And I'm like, oh gosh. I gave Dawson an example with Dawson. I was like, name me a coach that had 5 offensive players with over 500 yards receiving in one season and 1,000-yard receiver, right? They couldn't name him. Like, they was trying to find a coach who could do it. It's only 2 they could find. It was LSU 2019.
Yeah.
And it was Syracuse last year. Syracuse when they had Cam. I mean, not Cam, when they had McCord. It was McCord.
Kyle McCord. Yeah, okay, yeah, I can see that. Their offense only had
1,200 yards rushing. They had 1,000 yards rushing, but they only had 1,200 yards rushing. So, like, goddamn, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So it's like they saying, oh, well, that's Cam Ward. I say, well, goddamn, is the offensive coordinator good or is he not? Like, because we had Cam Ward or shit.
That's that playing the same shit. That's what I was saying, kind of about, you know, shout out Groove, man. You know, he was a provocateur. But that's the playing the same shit because you still scared that something going to go wrong. But the thing is, we saw last year shit go wrong. That's just part of what's gonna happen. It's how much can you bounce back and build up your name and resume to where you'll get the benefit of the doubt, right? And that's when he's got the program at this point now. So, like, you know, we had a tough road to get in last year because the ACC made it tough with the championship game, so we didn't get an opportunity to go win that one and help bolster our schedule, you know. And, you know, we dropped some games that they want to call, you know, bad teams. That's what they're going to do. That's the narrative they're going to push. We know how we lost those games. But hell, me and D-Rod was trying to get rid of Shannon last year. Till we wasn't.
Yeah.
Till he did the right thing. And that's the thing. Like, once you get it right, bro, I'm going to be the first one to say, all right, cool. You got it right. I ain't got no issue with you. And I said it before, I stick to it. I really think a lot of that was Mario handcuff. And that goes to, I saw you say it as well. Yeah, but ain't he a better coach now? Like, we're getting to the point where these little, Mario's the problem, Mario's the handcuffs. I think that's getting smaller and smaller. And he's learning, like, look what happened. When we lost to SMU, he said we got to get back to having fun. Next thing you know, the offense is way different. Now we got Malachi Toney doing these passes. We wasn't seeing that previous to that. We was all complaining, man. Got quit running off tackle every damn play. So I think it got to the point where he's just growing and growing and growing and understanding. I put these people in place. I got to trust them. And I, you know, even when he did bad with time management, hey, I got to help him with time management. Whatever it takes to get it done. And so even when I see our fans say that today, I'm always like, just let it go, bro. Just let it go. Quit trying to hold on to an old narrative. Live in the present. And I think presently, you know, I saw something today said who the best coach not to have a championship. And it's Kalen DeBoer, the best coach not to have a championship. And I was like, where y'all get that shit from? Like, what? Timeout. Hold on. Wait, what? Kalen ain't done what Mario done, bro. They always try to go to his record. Mario's a program builder. He inherits shit every time. Kalen DeBoer not inherit shit.
Oh, my God. Listen, I brought that up. I just brought that up in the Discord, too. I was like, man, I get it. We've been recruiting better than everybody in the SEC, but why aren't our players good in the NFL or making it to the NFL? Like I said, when Mario got here, all the players that left, name one, and they can only name two. I said, name one player that went on and got drafted in the NFL. And the only two they could name was Bashaar Smith and Elijah Roberts.
Right.
I'm like, so what talent are we talking about? Are we talking about the talent that's on paper? Or are we talking about the talent that's actually playing on the football field and going to the NFL? Like, we just seen Mario, the fruits from the tree. Two of them got drafted. Francis and Bain.
Right.
In the first round.
It's a little different, too.
Yeah.
There's no disrespect to Bashaar or nothing, but first off, he left. Him and Elijah left. And I do think both of those good players that should have stayed Canes were worthy of being Canes. They both did make it to the league. But are they on roster still? I think Bashaar is. I believe.
Yeah, Elijah's on the roster. He made a tackle or a sack the other day for Tampa Bay.
No doubt. I like that kid. I was disappointed when he left. You know, I think we did get better, but if he stays, I do think he's a part of it. But again, you naming two, and you naming two that didn't go in the first. You naming two guys that had enough talent to get there. And, you know, cool. Much respect to them. I like both of those players. I'm not shocked that they was able to accomplish what they was able to do. But there's a big difference between that and having two first-rounders. And then, honestly, you know, there was talks of three first-rounders. I'm shorting this one right there. Yeah, three first-rounders. That's different. Three. I forgot Mezador.
Yeah, but I was just saying that he basically recruited from high school.
Oh, yeah, but like you say, you kind of pretty much got it, damn it. Mezador, that's what you say. He didn't recruit, but he developed in that system. He was there for the whole time. He wasn't like a rental. Like, Jalen Phillips is a Cane, but, yeah, he was with us a year. You know what I mean? That's a little different. Anyways, 26 degrees, man. We just hit the ground running with you. I like to do it that way sometimes anyway. Just get right into it. here back at it. Got a little bit coming off. Just had a practice. Was that an actual scrimmage the other night?
Yeah, so it was two. It was two to be real. Wednesday, it was practice scrimmage. They like practice. It was basically practice. It wasn't an official scrimmage. But then Friday was a real scrimmage.
Gotcha. So yeah, we're gonna kind of go over there some like news and notes, a couple of things that went down at the scrimmage, practice, you know, observations basically out of fall. X started a good topic on the timeline. I thought it was provocative. We're gonna get into it.
Larry, I'm sorry. Give me one sec. I want to bring up one thing. I know y'all talking about guys in NFL and all that stuff, man. Hey, one thing, Markel Bell, right? Supposedly, they're saying now, like, he's Lane Johnson is the starter, but they said that, like, this might be it for him because they said Markel Bell is so far ahead and of what he's been doing, and they're saying like what Mirabal and Mario did for him, like whatever they did, it's real development going on down there. So they already pinning him as a right tackle of the future.
They already know what that is. Yeah, Lane probably about to check out, and then you know, hey, great career, all time career.
Yeah.
An amazing career. He's just done. You know, you getting a little long in the tooth. Probably ready to hang it up, and they would have got Markel just for that, and they got a steal because if he gets to come back one more year, he's the first round. He still has, you know, the pause and meat on the bone as far as like developing even more. So if you get that kid one more year under us, he was a first rounder. I had no doubt about it, but you know, they wouldn't let him come back. Well, he should have did like all the mother ones, but and sued and called a uncle who worked down at the courthouse and you know, get all that bullshit going. I was like, I'm all for it, but y'all motherfucker take this shit too far. We got motherfucker 29 years old. Talking about they want to come back for their last year. And, you know, this shit is out of hand. This, we got to, come on, y'all. We got to, you know, UPS is hiring. But I can't knock it either, though, because shit, if they won't let me come back one more year and pay me, $800,000, huh?
I'm with it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm talking bullshit, but if it's me, I'm coming to get that money, boy. Hey, y'all say whatever want to. And then it's one more audition for the league. So, you know, hey, it worked for me both ways. I got to do what I got to do, kiss my ass. But even without him, you know, we should still be in solid hands. But, yeah, we're going to also get into a little bit with players that the program kind of, you know, quote-unquote failed in certain ways. And I know when you said that, I was like, let's be a little spicy, but then – I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, I actually got a few names. Now that I really sit and think on it,
So let me explain why I said it from the get-go, right? Because I was thinking, I was just like, damn, man, I was watching a bunch of clips. And then the two people that I kept seeing a lot of was EJ and Duke. And I was like, damn, man, we failed them boys. Like, them niggas were so raw. We should have won more games with both. So I was like, damn, okay, let me name a top five. Oh, let me name five. Right? Not a top five. Just let me name five guys who I feel like the program, the school itself failed. Like, each guy was good. They poured their heart out into the school. They gave 100%, whatever. That ain't no real number, people, but they gave their life to that football team, man, and on the field. And, you know, and those are the five names that I came with. I was like, man, I felt like we failed them. I felt like we failed EJ. I felt like we failed Duke, Brad Kaya. DJ Dallas, I think he was just like a born – he was one of those born kings, man. He got here, man, and his natural position, he didn't play it. Went to another position, and guess what? He was good at it. You know what I'm saying? And then – hold on, who was my last name? My last name was
you had EJ, Brad Kaya, Duke Johnson.
Gerald Willis.
Yeah.
So like people questioned me with that one. They questioned me. They basically, I got questioned with all five. They were like, "How we felt, EJ?" I was like, "Well, we ain't winning shit with EJ, but EJ was like the top running back in the draft."
Right.
Like, you don't win nothing, but this nigga still like the best player, one of the best players in college football. Like, how does that work? You know what I'm saying? And Duke breaks the all-time Miami record, but we win nothing with him. Like, we was nothing. We forced Brad Kaya to play as a true freshman. Hey, we hurt his career. We kind of stunted his career, and then people like, "Oh, well, he should have came back his senior year." For what? When we ain't winning shit, right? Like, let me get my ass somebody if I could go to the NFL. Like, shit.
Yeah, he was on high in preseason.
You know what I'm saying?
So my two.
Go ahead, D-Rob.
So the two issues that I had with you, which some say X, like with the EJ, right? I don't necessarily think that we failed him. We weren't good because we were still kind of recovering from them sanctions.
We should have never been in sanctions.
But then if you say that, then it's more than that, because we had some players during that time that, you know what I'm saying? Then you might say we failed Santana then too. Because he was a part of that sanction. Remember, he was on track.
Santana got an opportunity to play without sanctions. They should have went to the championship game that year. Remember, they should have went to the championship game. We got cheated out.
So we didn't get him on a track scholarship because we were short. I thought we got him on a track scholarship because we were short scholarships. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
Now let me explain the reason why I keep saying we failed him. Now, if you like, you think about Santana. Santana played on the 2000 team where they should have went to the national championship, right or wrong?
Right.
They should have went to the national championship. Right. So I can't say the program failed him, because guess what? We did everything we supposed to do to get there. They didn't allow us to get to the goddamn championship. Now with EJ, he played on the sanctions and all that team, but we still could have won games. Could have won games. You know what I'm saying? We had a lot of talent.
Yeah, that one.
Still had talent, but we didn't win. Duke played on a team where we had talent, but we was losing a bunch of games. Like, why the fuck we losing games?
Yeah, now so I do agree with you on the Duke, right? The Gerald Willis thing, I kind of was like, I ain't really too. You know, I was kind of like, because the thing is, even though he was there with Rick,
who was the last defensive tackle in college football that had a season like Gerald Wallace? Gerald Willis.
For Miami or just in general?
I said college football. Like, I'm thinking college football.
I mean, I can't. Off the top of my head, I can't name it. I mean, he had a good year. So I mean, I get it. You know what I'm saying? No reason. I mean, whatever.
Why you say that?
I say he didn't. They didn't fail him because, I mean, even though his last year there, we went to the bowl game. We won a bowl game. I mean, even though we was like 9-4 or whatever, we didn't win like the ACC or nothing like that. But I mean, we did win some games. So I think that I don't think it was bad. Did he have one more year or was that it for him?
That was it.
Remember, just sat still for like 1 year.
Yeah. He sat. I think his first year he sat still. I remember he didn't. Or whatever.
Remember he was in that. When you transfer, you got to sit. Shit, he was in that. So
yeah. So I was looking on there, and I don't know who tweeted it out from the account, but I do agree with the with two of the names on there, right? I agree with the Anthony Chicolo. I think we definitely failed him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we moved him and tried to put all that weight on him, and it didn't work out well. And then as soon as he gets to the league, he gets into a 3-4 defense, the same defense we was running. They moved him outside, made him lighter, and he had an average career. He had a
five star. So that's a bit of a letdown, but you're right. Because I had Chicolo on my list too. Because if he gets to play that position the whole time, then he has an opportunity to actually fulfill his five-star you know, they don't all pan out, but he would have had a much better chance instead of making them fat.
I will say the Sam Shields. He was good at receiver. I think we only put him at DB because of numbers. It wasn't that everybody thought like, oh, he should play DB. It was just a numbers thing, and it was like, man, we just gonna put you there. And it just so happened that it was.
You got to see that because he was in the NFL corner for a long
time. Yeah, you got to see that.
So that's what I'm saying. That's a failure. Yeah. That's why I said that. Even he made it, but think about it again. He had that kind of career. If you get him there quicker, that's your job to see that and make it happy quicker. But go ahead. I ain't going to cut you off.
Yeah. No. You're good. Other one I had, I agree with. I say Jacory Harris, right? And I said, the reason why I say Jacory Harris, because he even said in an interview previously that the offense that we ran was not, it didn't suit him. You know what I'm saying? That's why it was down to us in Oregon when it was like what, Chip Kelly or Bilotti or whoever that was. And they ran that spread offense where he kind of ran at Northwestern, and that was what he did. So I think we failed him. And then Cam Ward, I think that was the ultimate failure. Granted, he had a good year. But our deep, like we should have won the ACC 2 years ago, and we should have been in the playoff. And no telling what possibly could happen because I think Cam was on a heater. I don't think no quarterback would have outdueled him in the playoff, as you can see, because the final two was what, Riley Leonard and who was the other guy? I can't even remember the other guy's name.
Notre Dame.
And for Ohio State, it was the guy who we was looking at from Kansas State. We turned him down.
We told him to sit down for a minute.
Yeah.
Will Howard.
You know what I'm saying? So me personally, I think that if our defense was even average, I think if our defense was just average or even a little above average, we definitely would have won the ACC because we was not going to lose. And I think we would have won a playoff game or two. That's just my opinion. But for me, I think number one was Cam Ward because I think that's the best opportunity that we've had in a long time outside of last year where we really could have made a statement, you know what I'm saying, for the program. Like, damn, we don't want the ACC. We don't want a playoff game. I mean, Bet kind of did that without the ACC championship. But I think Ward would have. This past year, we would have won a championship.
I really believe that. Question in my mind. We cook. That ain't even questionable to me. So I like all those. I got no issue with those. Cam didn't make my list, but I think that was a good pick. I did say Sam. James Williams was one of my guys. Ray Armstrong. For both of those guys, for the same reason though. I just thought, even us as a fan base, when we was screaming like, yo, these guys got to play linebacker, bro. What, I don't care what position they want to play. And then the first thing James says, I know my future in the NFL is that linebacker. What are we wasting time and safety for?
Yeah, but didn't Guidry have to convince him? Like, it took Lance Guidry to convince him to play some linebacker, and we saw what it did. Like, you know what I'm saying? The few times he did get in that linebacker, it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't bad.
And make their ass get out and say, well, we're just going to put you a couple of reps down there, you know, because same thing happened with Ray-Ray. Ray-Ray ended up, you know, Ray-Ray was a borderline five-star if he wasn't a five.
He was a five-star.
So I thought.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've said it on here before. Like, first time I saw this dude, I'm like, who the fuck said this was a safety? First time I met him, you know, and this is past him playing. I'm like, this motherfucker's a monster. And y'all got him lined up at safety, bro. He should have been knocking heads off. Then where'd he go? Now, was he a journeyman in the league as a linebacker? Yeah. But who's to say what you would have been had you honed those skills from the giddy up? And I thought we wasted that talent as well. So those are two of the ones where I just thought we misplayed these guys position-wise, where they just didn't put them where they should have been position-wise. And then another one I had was Tracy Howard. Just because I thought, you know, again, another five-star kid. He stayed home, you know, when, you know, honestly, he should have probably went to Florida because it would have better suited his style of play at the time. And I felt like Tracy got admonished at times, even when he would make plays, and we were like, how is he the third corner? And his instincts would kick in and he'll do something that D'Onofrio didn't like or something like that. So they would put, even if it turned out good. And I get that from a coaching perspective, but it was the same thing when you was dealing with D'Onofrio and Golden at the time. We were taking guys and trying to make them what they weren't. That was the same thing you had with Chicolo, because yeah, Chicolo's on my list too. It's like you don't take guys who are best at this or that and then try to flip them into a whole different role. When they just don't, that's not what you went and got them for. So, like, you look at Chicolo freshman year, he was getting off for a freshman. And we was running 4-3, he was on the outside playing decent snaps at DN. And it was like, all right, cool. Next thing you know, it's like, bro, he getting bigger and bigger. Like, what the hell are they doing to him? First thing he doing when he done playing, drop 40 pounds. Go to the combine or, you know, go work out. Pro day, all this stuff, you know, slim down, ends up making the team, plays for the Steelers for quite some time. And again, not necessarily, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber player, but a guy that I definitely think if you give him, because that's a part of a lot of this too, and that goes back to X point with a lot of these guys is how we let them down. Winning is so huge in just your position getting drafted. Like, unless they just identify you this as some just phenomenal, like, talent, freak talent, chances are the best way to get up there and get in those high rounds to be on winning teams. Now, some guys just going to do it despite, you know, hell, we don't have guys drafted from Central Michigan in the first round. Fucking, and it was that offensive line. I think he go to Saints from Alabama State. I'm drawing a blank right now. I can look it up in a little bit. But, yeah, so just I thought that was a good conversation, man. I thought that was a good point. And everybody got their little different takes on how these guys are
feeling. Yeah. But I think to be honest, I think I guess everybody had a different perspective of why each player was why the program failed. But like I say, my initial take was each player that I named was the best. Like they EJ and Duke, the best two running backs in Miami history. You know what I'm saying? Right. Brad Kaya, he's the top quarterback statistically in Miami history. You know, Gerald Wallace, he's had I'm still waiting on somebody to tell me another D tackle that had a season like him in college football. So that's why I was like, yeah, the program failed. But, you know, everybody got their different perspectives, their own perspectives.
That was about conversation. Oh, and for Duke, not only did we fail him, you know, because like, I have an issue with how Duke gets even thought about the fan base. And again, that goes back to winning. I'd be like, I ain't put enough respect on Duke name, though. Like, I know, hey, we're going to definitely respect Portis. We're going to respect EJ. We're going to respect, you know, hell, Najee. We're going to respect Willis. Y'all got to put a little more respect on Duke. And you know why it don't happen? Because of what you're talking about. Wasn't enough winning going around. But he always had my utmost respect because he just was a Kane. He ain't do nothing else. He was like, I'm a Kane. I'm going to be a Kane. That's what it is. And them made me hurt so hard, bad for my boy, too. Then he went to the fucking Browns. And they failed him, too. I was like, no. I wanted him to go to them damn Eagles so bad. Oh, Duke would have thrived with the Eagles, man. At that time, man, with Andy Reid, oh, man, he would have had a totally different career. But, you know, it didn't pan out that way in that situation. And, you know, again, you know what our part of that is? We ain't winning a lot. So he slips a little. Duke goes in, what, the third? We winning more football games. Duke probably going to second, maybe first. You never know. But when you're losing, your value just drops a little bit. Unless you just, again, something. And he, you know, physically, he's not like this freakish athlete in the measurables. But on field, man, shout out Duke. Still my favorite game, man. But anyways, let's get into a little bit of the scrimmage. A few little news and notes. We'll start as usual, man, with the QB. What Mitz look like? What, about 2 for 13? They pull him. Who were 3 for 21? Oh. You muted, X. You muted.
My bad. He definitely won 3 for 21.
Yeah, 3 for 21. Yeah. And shout out Maul. Maul said that shit sounded like a barbecue special.
Man, listen, he had that kid total yardage in one play. Like,
Well, that sounds like Art Sitkowski all over again, boy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they was talking about that the other day in the space. They were like, man, that's Arthur.
Yes, that's Arthur
type stats, man. And I was like, damn, I remember we recruiting that garbage.
Man. He was a four star.
And then they the same height. Guess what? They the same height, 6'6". I think Arthur probably got a little more weight on him, but yeah.
Yeah, he was a little bit bigger, dude. But yeah, Mr. looking sharp out there.
Yeah. Four touchdowns. One to Briggs. The other three was two, man. But yeah, he looking good, looking like he game day ready. Luke got in there. He game manager, gonna be a game manager. You know what I'm saying? I could see if he was to get into a game where even if it's like for us to, some meaningful snaps. He's going to be a game manager. I don't expect him to get out there and sling the rock around like that. You know, Darian Coleman, he had some nice little throws and stuff like that. It looks like him and Spafford are becoming, real close. You know what I'm saying? I guess he's already identifying who he wants to throw the ball to.
Man, Spafford, it's funny you say that too, because I be thinking that about quarterbacks. They'd be like, "Who are you gonna throw to?" I'm like, "Bitch, you're not playing next year on a good team. Most quarterbacks, so yeah, you need to develop chemistry with
this young boy." The ball to.
So. Develop your chemistry there.
That was good. The running game strong. Pringle had a long run, touchdown.
Broke off what 60? About 60 yards.
About 60. Yeah, running game strong. Running game gonna be strong. The offensive line, I want people to start worrying about it right now. It looks like this offensive line could probably be, if not this year, next year, it'd probably be the best we've ever had.
10 deep, I think Coach said. He didn't say that before. And part of that is the emergence of these young guys that they did such a great job with on this class, which is why I try to tell y'all fans, calm down. Mark Matthews is nice, but we cool. Y'all being a little bit too much caught up in the star ranking thing. And I get it. He's good. He's going to be an NFL player. He will be an NFL player. But we got some too. It's cool. Just relax. It's cool. Ben Collins.
We got some right now.
Right, exactly. That's on the at your campus right now, practicing. You got Ben Cognon, big hit. Joel Irvin, big hit. They, remember, that's the thing. Y'all got to remember, Joel was criminally underrated at first. You see his tape, you like, ain't no damn way. Boy moved too well. Big, tall, strong, long, athletic kid. Like, he was criminally underrated. And then, obviously, you got Jackson Cantwell. So, I'm not worried about it. I mean, it's going to have its growing pains, but that's every offensive line that ain't played a bunch of snaps together. But you have to also remember, we do have some veteran leadership on that line as well that has played a lot of snaps. So I put out the other day what I projected versus Stanford, and y'all kind of give me y'all 2 cents. I had it left to right, Pancake, Cantwell, Ryan Rodriguez. I said Max Buchanan. I'm gonna stick with that. And then I think McCoy at right. That's who I think starts for the Stanford game. Now things can move around. I think Cantwell will probably get an opportunity, maybe depending on just how well Okolola do, to slide outside. But what y'all think?
That Cogden name, he getting a lot of.
I'm getting a lot of play. I want to switch it. I know what I said. I'm going to keep it what I said.
Man, listen, it's possible we have 2 6-8 right guards guards this season.
Whew. That's crazy. Man, but you also know that Ohio State was after that boy.
We locked that
down. The season.
People like that.
Yeah. I remember them, his folks, them saying Ohio State was still trying to because they dropped somebody when they was trying to get him. They couldn't get him. But hey, man, I think this offensive line is probably going to be. I'm not going to say better than last year, but I think it's going to be very close. The only reason why I don't put it there is because, like you said, we got two freshmen at possible start, at Cantwell and Cogdon at the guard position.
I will say this. This year, will they be better? No, because they just won't have as much. You know, part of O-line is just getting the reps. But ultimately, will they be better? I think so. Because I think you got, like, I think you got real deal NFL players at both left and both right. I don't think Ryan Rodriguez necessarily going to be an NFL guy. But, yeah, if you look at left tackle, left guard, right tackle, you're looking at NFL guys. And then, hell, let's say Congdon does end up taking Buchanan's spot, who, you know, a lot of people – you know, we cross train. Who says Buchanan can't kick inside the center? And then you're talking about a really big, you 6'4 at the center, and you 6'8 at your guard and tackle spot. Like, you know, you 6'6", 6'8 on the outside, man. You're talking about bigger than some NFL lines and train really well. So, yeah, I get the worry, but you got to think too, the other blessing is the schedule is favorable. So these guys going to get that opportunity to gel early on. They're going to get, you know, Stanford still sucks. The worst part about that is the late game, you know. So it's going to be weird for them in that respect. It's going to be 9:00 daytime, you know, and it's on a Friday night. So weird in that respect, but they're a bad team right now. So we'll get that win, and they'll get a chance to gel. And then after that, you got, you know, a couple more cupcakes walk through. You know, and then you have a real deal game coming up in Clemson. So they're going to be fine. I'm not worried about the O-line at all. But, yeah, that is some buzz coming out. I'm glad you brought that up, too. That's why I stuck in my original Buchanan. But I was like, man, ain't gonna lie. And I've seen Congdon, too. Woo. Yeah, like he's already put on some good weight quick.
Oh, yeah.
He looked very different. Like he was already – because he was tall and lean and a wrestler. But now I'm like, oh, I see the mask jumping on.
Yeah, now he look like old lineman.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Before he kind of looked more like a basketball player. And now, yeah, I think he looks like an official old lineman. So yeah, good news out of there. I don't think we said quick about the running backs. Fletcher didn't take a lot of reps the other night, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, no doubt.
Yeah, everything was back up. You know, he got his little one-two steps and stuff, but everything is mostly backups. Cause they already know what Fletcher is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the offensively, the other thing, I think Lofton and Briggs are tight end one and tight end two. They just showing the best. Obviously, we know they want tight ends to block. Actually, shout out to Jackson Carver. He caught him a touchdown. Friday night. Shout out to Jackson
Carver. My boy.
Jackson Carver, man. So, but yeah, I just think Briggs and Lofton are going to be one and two. So,
okay. So you got Mueller kind of slipping down a little bit.
Yeah, because he is having like some drop issues. Freshman, truly, you know, expected.
And pretty new at football, too.
Yeah. No, he'll get it together, though. So,
that's what's up. And then you mentioned Spafford and Coleman. So I think I even saw a depth chart that, you know, had Spafford somewhere in there behind Tony.
Spafford basically going to be the slot to come in behind Tony.
Oh, man, that white boy can run, boy.
Fast as hell.
Yeah, fast, bitch. A bit fast, boy, and if he can, Malachi obviously gonna play a shit ton of snaps, but he'll get his opportunity. Might want to just put him out there and spread some stuff around. Speaking of wide receiver, real quick before we pivot from that, Cam Vaughn is no longer with the program.
Out of there, gone.
What was the story on that? Because that was, man, it was hot news going on at the damn time. What the hell going on?
He ended up getting arrested, had a driving reckless and some other little crazy charges and stuff like that. That's it. I ain't gonna say it. What else?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Then, you know, practicing and stuff like that with the team and kind of got a little disrespectful. And you know, just ain't on the same accord as the rest of the team. You know, so Mario like, nah, you gotta go. Yeah, you gotta go, man. We ain't doing that here.
Ain't that beautiful?
Yeah, ain't going for none of that.
Ain't that beautiful, man. And they try to troll us, right? And I was like, oh damn, who gone? Because I'm not seeing exactly what's happening. Oh, we got boys leaving the team, wide receiver. I'm like, oh no, who the hell left? Cam Vaughn, oh bitch, man, you talking about wide receiver seven, man? Y'all scared me. I'm thinking something that went crazy with Barkate or something like that. I'm like, oh, man, I ain't even had Cam Vaughn at five. I honestly think Wingo was gonna pass him. Like, I think Wingo gonna get some serious snap this year, some burn. Like, I don't think he play over Vandravius, you know. And part of that is attitude too. So it's like, yeah, we in such a good place, man. You can have your talents, but we got too much talent to put up with the bullshit. The culture too strong. You're not going to fit. You're just not going to fit in this locker room. You're not going to be comfortable here because they got that shit. It's a different mentality going on now.
Yeah, you're not bigger than the program, and
no,
you're not going to disrespect the head coach. Yeah,
you wild.
Mark's going for that.
I get getting into it with position coaches and stuff like that, coordinators. I get that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying overlook it, but you can kind of say, hey, all right, this is something we can work on. And you straight disrespect the head, man. I don't know if it's nothing you work on. You just got to get out of there.
You know the sad part is, man, I probably rap for Young Blood. Because that just be showing, like, in these situations, when you see these type situations, now he gonna be one of these guys. Next thing you know, he gonna play at four more programs. He already was on his third. It's just like, and you hate to see it for him because you be like, Young Blood, like if that's your nephew or your cousin, or you be like, bro, you got to listen to somebody. You know what I'm saying? I don't know who it is, but you got to listen to somebody, man. Because one day you will. That's just what it is. So then we had the other arrest. Jordan Lyle
thing that happened a whole couple of weeks
ago. He turned himself in
like a month ago.
He ended up turning himself in, and I think that whole situation is gonna get thrown out because he just didn't stop when they initially stopped him, tried to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
He kept going. I mean, so we already know that's a fleeing charge, like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I just think it'll get thrown out because it was just like a miscommunication thing, if anything. Excuse me, he gonna get like traffic tickets maybe. They didn't say like he was, well, they said reckless driving, so I guess
that reckless might be. Is pretty wide open though, like as far as what fall under
what
reckless.
Do they call
driving.
Reckless? Yeah, what do they call
it? Don't necessarily mean you weaving, driving, you know, speed. Hell, you could get a DUI drop down to a reckless driving, like if you get the right lawyer and stuff. So it doesn't mean that he was necessarily in a situation where he was being hostile driver or, you know, they just say in some way he wasn't operating in the best way given all conditions. That's basically what that means. So, I know y'all thought y'all got it again. Oh, he go. The program knows. The program knows. Man. And get what? They said, boy, looking nasty. So, you know, honestly, at this point in time, if I'm looking at running back, and I love him, but I think we'll see. Injuries happen too. I think Marty sliding down a little bit this year.
And Marty had kind of toned his body too.
And you know, you got a guy that by a lot of people is considered the best running, but one of the best, if not the best running back in the country. And honestly, I think Lyle might be better at his peak. If he remember, he was RB1 last year. Pete Lyle, I think, is a better all around running back than Mark Fletcher. So, Because he got another gear that Mark don't got. Mark got a toughness but yeah,
Lyle. You just got to put it together.
Yeah,
you gotta right. Consistently and put it together, man. That's
yeah.
it.
If he's at his best, which we're hearing, yeah, I think you got to push Marty down the depth chart at that point. And you know, still good.
Marty basically your third down running back because he can catch out the backfield. He could do, you know what I'm saying? Or and your so matter of fact, your yeah, but you know
it's
what?
Yeah, it's tricky. That's what I'm saying.
It does. You know what I'm saying? But I think Pringle gonna have his time, right? He's gonna have his time. I just don't want him to just rush and you know what I'm saying, whatever. But Marty Brown is like that one guy that you have in your backfield that can really do it all. Like he's a power runner. He gonna break the run. He closed like what, 3 games for us? He done closed like 3 games for us.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, man.
The reason I say that, D-Rod, honestly, is because a lot of this shit end up being a little bit like the NFL now. Because when you start spending that money, I know he probably getting more bread than Marty. So then it becomes we got to play. So we'll see, especially when you're this talented. Somebody's going to get hurt, too, though, because that's just the nature of the position. They're going to be somebody getting hurt, hopefully not for nothing too long.
And then Brown still got, what, another year? Because he was a what? True sophomore,
he's going to play one year.
2 years,
yeah. So he got 2 years left,
and yeah, he got this year, and he got next.
He got 3 more because it's the 5-for-5 shit. So,
he
got 3 more seasons if he wants. You know, love him, man. I think he closed well for us. I think he was an amazing addition to the team, and I just think we got too much talent in the backfield. Oddly enough, you know, you'd rather have it. We'll see how it plays out eventually. Defensively, any name kind of
the defense jump
out, threw a name defense. Out in the secondary.
The defense won. They won a scrimmage.
Okay.
They won a scrimmage. Killing Wiley. I think the light bulb came on.
Don't get me excited, man.
Yeah, I think the light bulb.
hey, what about time?
Don't get me the line because if his light turn on, I'm going to, oh man.
Another guy on the defense who, and I think, shit, every old lineman is having an issue trying to block him. Lightfoot, man. I'm trying to figure out a name, what to call him, because we know the nigga, we know he'll knock you out. they having a hard time trying to block him. So, him, Killing Wiley, you know, Thornton, they keep saying, is like he step for step with Mally. Chase Smith, I think he done finally got it together.
I'll tell you a name that I threw out. I want your quick thoughts, or both of y'all quick thoughts, actually. I said from the 26 account, of course, I think Camden Portis is going to be our first legacy to be really good. I'm hearing a lot of good things about bro. I saw him when I came to your tailgate.
Him and the dad.
They were walking around throughout there. Yeah, and I mean, he already, like, he's not a small guy. You know, Clint not huge either as far as I, but, you know, average height. Decent build, but then I seen him lately and I'm like, oh man, he's actually putting on some good solid weight. And I'm hearing, man, he just moving out there like man, you know, on fire. And I kind of put it out there, and you know, I'm hoping it's because you think about it, any of our legacies before, we've had some, you know, like, oh, you know, Al Blaze had some moments for us, he was okay. Lil Ray definitely ain't work out.
Talk about the brother Blaze, not the son.
I'm talking about Junior.
No, so you saying the legacy? I would say you got to be talking about the brother Blaze, not the son Blaze.
No, I'm talking about the son.
Oh, damn.
He had some moments. You know, I'm trying not to just dog pile on him. He had some moments. I'm trying to play it kindly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, hell, Mike Irvin's son didn't work out. The tight end.
At all,
man. And we just had bad luck with the legacy kids. But I think this time, because either that or the ones that were going to be pretty good, then they don't come to us like, say like Earl Little, who I still don't know, but I mean they say he's looking pretty good at Ohio State. I'll see it. Let me see it. Let me see it before I make a final determination. But I ain't excited about that. But man, you know, I think Camden could be the first one, man.
You know what somebody said the other day about him? They were like, man, listen, Camden Portis is he's gonna be Clint Portis if he came to Miami and played defensive back. Remember, we wanted him to play defensive back. So
well, everybody did. I think, yeah,
we were the one that
said he could. Yeah, I mean not Miami, back. But he's what everybody else wanted him to play defensive back.
Everybody wanted him to play running back. But he wanted to play running back, yeah. So thank God we gave him that chance. It worked out good. But yeah, his son, right, exactly. He's getting that chance, and he's probably going to be a natural nickel, which is really important in our position, I think, in our defense, and really in the game in general these days. And you look at, I think it'd be dope, man. You know, I ain't no big fan of the number zero, but Keontae Scott made me a fan. And then now Thornton making some noise out there. So I'm like, look, hey, if Cam can come in and keep that thing going, slap that zero on, man, and make that kind of a thing in Miami. That'd be pretty cool if our nickels could, you know, really kind of take it to that next level. Because, you know, shout out to Corey Kaplan. He used to run at my dog all the time, man. He got a little weight on him his last year, but I used to be like, oh, my God. He can cover. Boy's a dog. But man, they run Corey's ass over so much. It just drove me crazy. But, yeah, things coming together. Real quick, before we bounce, man, I think I want to circle back just a little bit to the offensive side. You said nickel you view as a game manager. If we got in a situation where we needed them for three, we need them for three games.
We need them for three games?
We need them for three. Let's say something wild happened. We need them. I don't want to do them on Clemson. We play after Clemson. I don't want to make them have to go out there and do that. Let me look at the schedule real quick. And we need them for another three games.
Any three games, even if one of those games include Notre Dame, you got to look at, like, I think we're better off at wide receiver, knowing, okay, even if he do make these throws downfield, that we trust our players to get the ball.
Yeah.
Opposed to, like, when what's his name was there, and when we went to go play Florida State, it was just like, yeah, let's keep everything in front of.
Yeah, right. Yeah, safety. Emory, yeah.
So, yeah, Emory, you know what I'm saying? So it'll be different. Like, I think it'll a lot because we just got better players now. You know what I'm saying? So.
Back. Yeah, I think he'll get it done if it boiled down to it. Yeah, let's say we did Florida State, Pitt, UNC, which is home, and on road against a trash UNC, trash Florida State, and okay Pittsburgh. Well, I don't expect to be that good this year either. I think he could do enough, like you said, with the talent around us to hold that down and go 3-0 in that given situation. And that's all you really can ask for in your backup is to just hold it down for a little minute if it comes down to it. And then I think after nickel, I think we may have finally kind of figured some things out where we actually got some homegrown in-house talent stuff. What you about to say, D-Raw? I see the smile on your face.
Nah, I was about to say, what you said, it sound about right. You know what I'm saying? I hope when we play like FAMU and all the other games, I hope they give, you know what I'm saying, him opportunity, man, to really like do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope they don't put him in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left. And no, man, like that FAMU game, that should be over by like halftime, maybe a little bit into the third quarter. And then I think you should go ahead and just like go ahead and do whatever. Cause I think that we have the talent on offense and defense to do it, where by halftime, that game should be like 42-0. And it's like, hey, you know what? Let's just let these other guys get some play. And then let them do what they do.
Man, I think Miami gonna smack Stanford. He should get some burn up. I think he can get some decent play against that. I mean, I ain't just saying this shit to be. I really think we come out the gate smacking shit. Stanford sucks.
We covering that 23. We covering that 23. And the crazy part is their starting quarterback was the walk-on starting quarterback at Michigan 2 years ago, Davis Warren, who's god-awful. Like, I'm talking about terrible. I don't think that whole season he threw for more than, like, 120 yards in a game. Like, and I'm being 100% honest with you. That boy god-awful. This is just his sixth year.
And then you go to, damn, 6 years, Jesus. And then, yeah, then you got A&M, like we was talking about. Then Wake Forest. I mean, I think Wake better than Stanford, but I think there's a chance that that game could get out of hand quick, too. And he'll get his opportunities. I think in the first four games, Luke should stand to get some real opportunities. This ain't the old Miami where, y'all remember, man, we had battle Central Michigan for a little bit? Oh, my God, yuck. We were battling Central. I'm like, yo, bro, what the fuck? Why is this game not over in the second quarter? Jim McElwain, bro. We playing Jim McElwain in the Central Michigan. What, they did Chippewas or some shit like that? Bro, we was in a struggle, bro. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, our, oh God.
I remember they players on the sideline was like, man, we know everything. We know all, every play they finna run on offense. And yeah. I was like, man, it's impossible. But they knew every play we ran. I was like, damn, boy, this is bad.
That's crazy.
But then again, remember, we had they coach that we had Enos who came from there, right? Enos was there before. So.
Yeah. Well, life is good now, man. Things are turning around. Look forward. We almost there. Football season is right around the corner, man. Fuck you, ACC, for that 9 o'clock kickoff. It's going to work out because that's actually the day I get married. So that way I get to go watch the game afterwards. So that part works out.
He put himself in jail.
Locked up. They won't let him out. But yeah, another episode of 26 Degrees, man. We appreciate y'all pulling up with us. Season upon us, man. And we'll be, you know, at that point, you know, it's locked in, tying in. It's super locked in. Y'all will see us weekly, per usual. Won't be no little breaks then. Lock it in. Knock it out, man. Here's to a great season to come. Peace.
Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
26 degrees.